So, and I'm going to try something tonight just because I wanted to share a few images along with my talk tonight. And so I'm going to try if you can see, I put it on a PowerPoint. You'll excuse me for that. It's not mostly words, it's just mostly images that I wanted to share. But I want to make sure that it shares. So I'm going to share the screen for a moment. Does that come up okay for everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't see a whole lot of people here. Actually, everybody just went blank. Can somebody say whether you can see it?
Yes,
It's
I
okay.
can see it.
Okay,
Yes.
thank you. Okay. So what you're seeing there, can you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you're
Okay.
small.
Okay, a little one. Okay, that's fine. So what you're seeing there is what I'm going to call the title of this talk. Remembering who you are. And I'm doing this because there are times when I get lost in the day-to-day ups and downs, the play of samsara. I had an argument. I'm grumpy. I'm getting old and something else hurts, right? Whoever it is, my partner, the bank, the telemarketer, the driver in the next lane, shouldn't have done that, right? And I'm complaining, if not out loud, then in my own head. And if I look at my mind, what it's doing is judging, fixing, planning, averting, so that getting up in the morning appears as a rush of things to be done in the day, right? And this experience of self and my life, is problematic. It feels problematic. This is not who I want to be. This is not where I want to be. And I've been meditating a while, but I can still be in this place, stuck in this little self and the reality that goes with it. So I've been asking myself, how do I make sense of this? Is my practice not really working? Do other people go through this? Do my questions seem familiar to you? Is that anything you ever ask yourself? So I've spent the last few weeks actually exploring whether there is any classical wisdom to address this. Did other Buddhists deal with these issues? Do they talk about them? Like even in the texts, can I really get help in our complicated, busy technological lives from ancient India? Okay. And these are, questions that I really have a lot. So I'm reading, and right there in this sutta, right, called Tu Mahanama, I find a guy who has the same issues that I'm talking about. And they'll sound a little bit different culturally from how I would talk about them. But listen to this householder who's describing his problem directly to the Buddha. And he says, Lord, this city is rich and prosperous. It's populous and crowded. Sometimes when I enter the city in the evening after visiting with the Blessed One or visiting with the monks that inspire the mind, I meet up with a runaway elephant with a runaway horse, with a runaway chariot, or a runaway cart, or a runaway person. At times like that, my mindfulness gets muddled. The thought occurs to me, if I were to die at this moment, where would I be? So, honestly, except for the specifics of the challenges, you know, like the runaway elephant, I'm totally in the same place as this householder. These things happen in our lives and just take us over, and I lose my mindfulness. Does that happen to you? And the Buddha speaks to this guy in two different suttas, and he says things to him that I find really helpful for myself. So in my talk tonight, I want to share how the Buddha addresses this guy's issues in the hopes that it will be helpful to all of us householders. And I'll reframe the question. So I keep losing my mindfulness when stuff happens. Do I need to be worried? Is my practice off the mark? Okay. And this is how the Buddha is going to answer him. Suppose a tree were leaning to the east, slanting toward to the east, inclining toward the east. When its root is cut, which way would it fall? And here's the image. Hold on. It's not working.
And sometimes if you click with your cursor on the slideshow, it'll advance, but the arrows don't work.
I'm going to try it one more time put my cursor on the, I'm going to do this, screen share. Okay. And my slide is not advancing for some reason. And I really need it to. Okay, so just wait 1 minute and let me see if I could do this. Screen share. I'll do this one. Okay. Can you see that? Yes. Just give me... Yes. A thumbs up, somebody. Would you put on your, because I can't see anybody, so would you put on your pictures?
Yes, we can see it.
Thank you. You can see it?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. All right. So suppose a tree would be leaning. Which way would it fall? And the guy answers, Mahanama answers, in whichever way it was leaning. In whichever way it was slanting or inclining, Lord. And he says, in the same way, Mahanama, when endowed with confidence in the path, in the Dhamma, in the Sangha, in the Buddha, okay, what you're doing here right now, you lean toward unbinding or enlightenment. You're leaning, you're slanting toward unbinding, you're inclining toward unbinding. So the message is, trust your efforts and keep leaning in the right direction by putting forth the energy to be mindful, even if you're not always there. Have confidence you're leaning in the right direction, and eventually that's the way your life will fall. So I thought that was one helpful thing. And by leaning, what we mean here is the commitment to presence in order to see reality clearly. So look at this next image. Okay. Life in samsara, life in everyday life. The turning of the wheel down the road is the progression of our lives. And I'd ask you, can you see our problem of suffering clearly when you look at this. Mm-hmm. What is the real problem? As long as you think the problem is the bumps in the road, that bumpy road, or as long as you believe that there are good moments, like right up here, that you could keep forever, mm-hmm. you're deluded. Mm-hmm. That's what the Buddha would say. And you will find nothing but momentary highs. What the Buddha wants us to see is that as long as this is who you think you are, that little person on the end of the wheel, and what your life is, there's no way out of stress and suffering. And you say, you know, I mean, you may think, no, no, I argue, but today is great. You know, this isn't stressful. I'm at the top of the wheel here. And sure it is. But look how quickly, if you keep following the wheel, you will lose that, or you'll worry about losing that. Mm-hmm. Anything that makes you think, that makes you think that your life will be happy if you get it, or makes you think that your life will be unhappy if you lose it or you don't get it, okay, if you're at the bottom, anything either way will be a source of suffering in your life. And the Buddha used examples of one's livelihood to explain the stress of these so-called good and bad results. So he gives these examples. What if you strive and make the effort at your work, but nothing comes of it? There's no gain, no wealth, no good reputation. You become distraught. My work is in vain. My efforts are fruitless. Okay? He's showing the suffering of that. But what if the reverse happens and you gain wealth and fame and you're at the top here? Then he says, you still experience stress and worry about protecting it, about making sure that you don't lose it. You're just on the rim of the wheel in both ways, in both cases. And he wants you to see the stress of either. Unless we can clearly see the drawbacks, or the hooks, sometimes it's called, in situating our lives here in gains and losses, we won't be motivated to change our position, and we'll never really find the happiness that we're seeking. So look at that picture. What is the way out? Right? What's the way out? And really, if you see it, it's not the road. It's not to stop the wheel. We can't do that. That's life. It's get off the rim. And we don't get off the rim with just willpower. Okay. We do it with insight. This is where the seeing clearly part comes in. Seeing clearly why life is so bumpy and hurtful. And when you really see it, you'll slip off, or you'll detach from that rim, because it's only held in place by attachment, by the attachment of our delusion about what brings happiness. To get off the rim, you have to invite presence and detach. And some of us, that's where we have the most work that we have to do, is right there. And what is that work? That work is to discern that it's not getting my preferences, In other words, it's not getting what I want and what I don't want that's going to bring me happiness in life. But it's my detachment from those things that will bring me happiness. And when we do this, I think, you know, if you're a meditator, you have experienced this yourself, even in a single situation. When you let go of the attachment, we move to the hub. And from the hub, the same life, the same road, the same turning of the wheel feels totally different. So have you ever been in the middle of that stress and all of a sudden the presence comes and you realize it's all happening in a different space, right? You have the spaciousness to be able to see it and allow it to pass through. It's a totally different place from which to perceive life, from the hub. And that's where the release comes. That's where our peace comes. That's where, he's saying, our happiness comes. But, you know, this Mahanama, he was an experienced meditator too, like many of you. He had already come to understand this. He had this discernment. He kind of knew that that was true. He understood this cognitively, like many of us do. So he asked a different question, a new question. And he says, for a long time now, I have understood the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One. You know, just what we talked about. One thus, that greed is a defilement of the mind, that aversion, that things we want, things we don't want, is a defilement of the mind, that the delusion around this is a defilement of the mind. Hold on. Alexa? Off. Okay. Yet even though I understand this, there are still times when the mental quality of greed or aversion or delusion invades my mind and remains. The thought occurs to me, and I'll show you this question. What mental quality is unabandoned in me so that there are times when greed or aversion or delusion invades my mind and remains? And I think, yes, I've got the same question. Why after all this time of meditating, when I know I can release this, when I do that sometimes, why sometimes does it remain there? This is the question I'd like to ask the Buddha. Hey, why can't I permanently let go of these things I want and stop pushing away the things I don't like, you know, and give myself some peace? And the Buddha's answer is fascinating. And he shares from his own life. And he's talking about his time before awakening. And he says this, I myself, before my awakening, when I was still unawakened, I saw, like you, as it actually was, with right discernment, that all this wanting and not wanting, gains and losses, what he calls sensuality, okay? That's the old language for it, is of much stress. It's of much despair. It's got great drawbacks. But as long as I had not attained a rapture and pleasure and peace apart from that, from the wanting and the not wanting and the gains and the losses, I did not claim that I couldn't be tempted by it. But when I saw, as it actually was, with right discernment, that this wanting and not wanting is of much stress, and I attained a pleasure apart from it, I could no longer be tempted. Okay. So, you know, what's the translation of this? It's not enough to know this cognitively, right? To just know this in our heads, this right discernment. Once you're at the hub, once you've released something one time, you have to savor the experience and the pleasure and the happiness of being in the hub. So the missing quality, he's saying, is the cultivation of joy. Okay. The missing quality is the cultivation of joy. It's a joy outside, a peace outside of worldly gains and losses, the joy of release. And if we stay, you know, it's almost like when you release this, it's like you had a bad dream and you wake up, okay? And not only do you drop your fear, and there's that piece, but there's a reveling in the joy and the reliefs of being freed from that place in the dream. It's like, ah, oh, what a relief. I'm not there. And this speaks to something that I often forget in my own practice, which is to remember, you know, I'm often doing the work of, you know, seeing where I'm attached, how I'm attached. But what I forget to do is to notice, cultivate, savor, and enjoy the feelings that come with resting and release into awareness, our unworldly sources of happiness. And that, you know, I had never seen that before in the text, but that is what the Buddha says was the difference for him in being able to stay there, to be able to keep releasing and stay there. It was, he really realized how much happier it was, how much joy there was in just being in the hub. And so the rim no longer, and being up or down, no longer really mattered that much, right? So I leave you with just the offer of these three efforts for our practice, okay, that I talked about today. And I would say, you know, we can do all of them, but which one calls to you? You know, which is the area that is most sticky for you? Is it the faith? You know, do you need to just trust in your practice, trust the way you're leaning right now so that there's less doubt? Is it about seeing clearly, about discerning the real problem there in those wheels, right? What is the real problem? Not the road, not the wheel. It's get off the rim, right? Stop living in the gains and the losses. Or is it the enjoyment that once you're, when you're able to do that, can you rest in it? Can you rest in it and have some joy and happiness from that release and being there? And as we're able to do that, that's what Buddha is telling us will give us the ability to live our lives really in a very different way. So thank you for your attention, and take just a couple of minutes to stretch. I will take off the screen sharing and we'll come back to sit at about, in about 3 minutes. Thank you. So as you return to the group, it's nice to see everybody to meditate with you. So let's open our attention first to some place in the body, feeling the feet on the floor, the hands on the lap. And begin, if you can, by relaxing, letting the jaw go. Relaxing the muscles around the eyes. Lowering the gaze or closing the eyes. Feeling the feet on the floor or on your cushion, your legs on your cushion. And opening to the sounds in your own space and the sound of my voice. Allowing the sounds to come to you. And again, taking the advice of the Buddha to find some pleasure and joy in our meditation, finding the ease of just letting the sounds come to you, the ease of just allowing yourself to be here and not have to do anything. And you can turn your attention to your breath with that same open attitude of just watching the body breathe, not having to do anything. maybe finding something pleasurable in the breath, in the in-breath, and especially the out-breath, letting it go. And it really doesn't take that much effort to follow that breath in and out, to kind of ride up and down on the waves of the breath. Just enjoying it. Again, letting the body breathe as it wants. And if there are sensations or thoughts or sounds pulling your attention, can you just notice them from the seat of awareness that they came and they go? And let them spin on the rim of the wheel while you rest at the hub, just watching them come and go as the wheel turns. No need to get involved. Just watching the sensation, watching the thoughts come and go. Enjoying the seat of awareness. in your meditation now, if there is stress, the stress of sensation, the stress of thoughts, see if you can let go off the rim. See if you can move to the place of awareness of those things. And if there isn't stress right now, see if you can't relish the place of no stress and feel the happiness with the ease of that place. It's just a matter of a simple movement. So right now in your meditation, are you on the rim of the wheel or are you at the hub? It's important to notice. If you're at the rim of the wheel, no problem. Can you see what's attaching you there? Use your meditation for that. If you're at the hub of the wheel right now, enjoy it. Notice and relish the ease and the peace of that place. Let's transition now to our loving kindness meditation. And kind of keeping with the theme of today of staying with the joy of noticing as we go through the different objects of our loving kindness, the generating and enjoying the warmth of loving kindness in ourselves, right? So as you're able to do that and extend the loving kindness to other people, notice the way that feels, the goodness of that in your own self. So you might, again, move to whatever is a comfortable position for you. And pick the person or being in your life who it's easy to generate a sense of warmth and loving kindness, whether it's a pet or a child or a friend or a mentor, someone who it's easy for you to love. And almost seeing yourself like a lantern that will shine outward as it heats up with the feeling of loving kindness. Bring that person's or being's face into your consciousness and seeing them smile or wagging their tail, and allow your lantern to begin to heat up with a sense of warmth. And as that warmth deepens, widens, by watching their face, by seeing them smile, generate it outward. Let the lantern shed light outward toward them. May they be happy and peaceful. And offer them, may you be safe, protected from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy in body and in mind. May you live with a sense of ease, full of loving kindness. And see if that feeling grows in yourself. Can you feel it inside, what that feels like? A sense of loving kindness for them. Seeing them smile and smiling them back at them, and wishing them well one more time with those phrases. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe, protected from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy in body and in mind. May you live with a sense of ease, full of loving kindness. And if you would just open your eyes for a second or two to look at the other people in the group tonight, whoever is left with us tonight. There's a few people who were real and a few people who you may just know by your names. Hi, everybody. Wish them well. Can you feel that warmth? Feel what that feels like? It's nice to generate the sense of warmth and loving kindness. Let's wish each other well. May we be happy and peaceful. May we be safe, protected from inner and outer harm. May we be healthy in body and in mind. May we live with a sense of ease, full of loving kindness. May we be happy and peaceful. May we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be healthy in body and in mind. May we live with a sense of ease, full of loving kindness. And for the last group, I'd like you to pick your own person or group in your mind. It could be a difficult person in your life. It could be a group of people who might be under attack in the world. It could be a group, you know, anyone who might need your loving kindness right now. And wish them well, using your own phrases. I'll repeat these. Do it in your own mind. May you all be happy and peaceful. May you all be safe and protected from inner and from outer harm. May you stay healthy in body and in mind. May you all live with a sense of ease, full of loving kindness.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.